I should start, I think, with a confession, because this is the first time that I've been here on a Sunday morning this year. Yeah, I know. You probably didn't even notice, did you? But last week, I was in Weymouth with my lovely wife, Sally Ann, celebrating her birthday. We went to the Baptist church there. Of course we did. Yeah, of course we did. But the week before that, Sally Ann and I, with some friends and family, I know what's going to come now, went to a pantomime in Woking. We did go to a pantomime in Woking, and afterwards we went for a meal together. During, in between the courses, I said to the people there, I said, has anybody heard the term Earthshot or Earthshot Prize? And a bit like you, really, there were 15 blank faces around the table. Has anybody heard of it? Well, I'll tell you then. On the 31st of January, and that must have gone well because nobody's heard of it, Prince William launched the Earthshot Prize. And it's a really ambitious scheme because starting on the 1st of January 2020, for the next 10 years, the decade, he is offering, the organisation are offering millions of pounds if people can come up with a solution to what he says is the ecological disaster that the world is facing. He's looking for people to come up with these solutions. So it could be you, but I guess it's mainly aimed at scientists and those sort of guys that can come up with these solutions that would detox the planet. So there it is. He's launched it. And he's hoping that this prize will become as prestigious as the Nobel Peace Prize and as well known. Obviously, he's got a long way to go because none of you have heard of it. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But, you know, just a few days later, Sally Ann and I were watching a film on the television. And I thought, oh, this might be the answer. It's called Downsizing. It stars Matt Damon. Has anybody seen it? Well, it's quite interesting, really, because I'll tell you the synopsis quickly. The scientists have come up with a way of reducing human beings so that they're very, very, very small. In fact, and let me get this right, 0.0364% of the current size, the normal size of a human being. So about that size, actually. And what they say is, of course, this will completely change all the issues and problems we have, the world's population, and so on. And they actually produce a few people where that small. It's really interesting, actually. And they say that this is going to help with all these issues that we're facing. They further propose a 300-year transfer from normal-sized population down to that size population. And governments are offering incentives for people to do it. And the rest of the film is about Matt Damon being downsized and all the sort of adventures that he gets involved in. But the scene that struck me most was when, the night before, Matt Damon and his wife are due to be downsized. They're having a drink in a bar with some friends, a sort of a farewell drink. And they're talking about this whole thing about downsizing and what it might mean and all of that sort of stuff. And there's a guy sitting at the bar and he can't help overhearing what they're saying. He's sitting quite close to them. And he turns around on the bar and he says, oh, you guys, you're going to be downsized then. And Matt Damon says, well, yes, my wife and myself. And he gets off the stool and he sort of staggers out. He's had a drink or two. And he says, well, good for you. He says, no offense, but now, you know, when anybody ever says to you, no offense, but you're going to be offended, obviously. He says, no offense, but do you think that as a downsized person, you should have the same rights that I have? What do you mean? Says Matt Damon. He says, well, you're not going to buy anything like the volume of products that I'm going to buy, are you? It's just a tiny fraction. So you won't be paying any VAT. And in fact, because of government incentives, you won't even be paying income tax. you're a drain on the economy, he said. You're not making any contribution whatsoever. Your vote shouldn't count the same as my vote. Should be worth about 1/8 of what my vote would be worth. And I really thought about that, and I thought, do you know what? As much as the world faces these ecological issues and challenges, environmental issues, global warming, and so on, there's a much bigger challenge, I think. And it's to do with human nature. And it's to do with the self-centeredness and the self-righteousness and the self-justification of human beings. Because yes, we're prepared, aren't we, to do our little bit in terms of recycling and so on. As long as it doesn't inconvenience us too much, obviously we wouldn't want to do that. And surely you're not going to ask us to change our lifestyle if it means that somebody, somewhere, is going to get some advantage over us. We're not going to do that, are we? You're not suggesting that, are you? And that's the way we've sort of all started to think. And you can understand why, because the culture that we live in today in the West says what? Well, it's all about you. It's all about the individual. You know, you. It's all about you. You deserve it. It's your right. So, can you wonder that we want to look after number one? It's the way we're going to behave, isn't it? What's wrong with that? Well, what's wrong with that, if you're a follower of Jesus, a Christian, is that that's not what he says and the way we should behave. And when I was thinking about this, I really started thinking about my old school motto. My old school motto, just four words: respect other people's property. Now, I can see from the looks on your face, you think, what? What's that got to do with, he's lost the plot now. Now, I'm going to explain. I'm going to explain it to you. To do that, I'm going to use a verse from one of the Psalms, which you find in, of course, the first part of the Bible in the Old Testament. A few weeks ago, if you were here at Songs of Praise, Simon Lacer, our team leader, was here, and he was talking about this subject, and he used one of the Psalms. And it was actually Psalm 8. Psalm 8 is one of my favourite psalms. And if you don't know it or you haven't read it for a while, can I suggest that you go home and read it? Because it's really great and it sort of underpins what I'm saying today. And I often read it myself. But that's not what I'm going to be referring to today. Because today, it's just one verse from Psalm 24 and verse 1. And you may know it, Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Do you know, right at the very beginning of the Bible, it starts off, doesn't it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It belongs to God. It's his property, if you like. Respect other people's property. You see why I would have thought of that. So everything belongs to God. It doesn't belong to governments, though the way they behave, you would think that it does. Wars have been fought, haven't they? Through boundaries, trying to take over more of the earth. Millions of people have died. It doesn't belong to them. And it certainly doesn't belong to multinational companies. Although, again, the way they behave, you'd think it did. It doesn't. And by the way, it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. It belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The world and all who live in it. All human beings are image bearers of God. We bear his image and they belong to God. So we should respect that which is God's. But of course, Jesus goes much further than saying we should respect this world, which we should, by the way. He goes much further because in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he goes much further because he tells us to love, which is, by the way, it's a verb. It's a word of action. Take action, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength of mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he commands us to do that. He commands us to do those things. Joe, right now, as I'm standing here speaking to you, right now, the poorest people on earth, in the poorest countries, the developing countries, or, as Jesus once put it, the least amongst us. Right now, the least amongst us are suffering because of climate change. They are suffering right now. In fact, their very existence is at stake. Not in 10 years' time, but right now. It's happening right now. And if we are authentic followers of Jesus, then we need to demonstrate that love for them by taking whatever action we need to improve this situation. We need to detox our living. See, the way we live, particularly in the West, the way we live is toxic to the least amongst us. It's killing them. It's poisoning them. It's toxic. We need to detox our living. So here at the church, we have produced an environmental policy. I'm not going to go through every line and everything in here this morning. That's not what I want to do. Just want you to know that we have done that. And it covers things like products we might use and how we should use them or should we recycle them. All of those sort of things are in here. And we've already started. Some things we've done already. Other things are going to take us a little bit longer. Not 300 years, not even 10 years, but we have already made a start. But what about you? What are you doing? What are you going to do to detox your living? Now, I've got to confess that at this point, I was tempted to put a whole list of things that you could do onto the screen and suggest that you might do them. But then it occurred to me, you probably already know a great deal of them. And some of the conversations I used to have, when I was working for ICI, I was the International Business Training and Development Manager. I used to travel around the world. And I would have a similar conversation with many of the business managers that I met. And these were quite senior people. And it was, although they were completely diverse cultures and countries, it was a similar conversation. And it went something like this. Rob, you've got to help. What's the issue? Well, this group of people, could be salespeople, marketing people, people on the planet, whoever it was. This group of people, they're not performing as I want them to. You need to train them. Really? Yep. Well, what is the issue? What are they not doing? Describe whatever it was. Do they know what they're supposed to be doing? Have you actually communicated with them? Yes, of course I have. It's like, do you think I'm an idiot? Of course I've told them. They know exactly what it is. I've explained. I've been through it. I've told them to do it. Okay. Do they know how to do what it is you're asking them to do? Yes. That's why I'm getting so cross. They know what to do and they know how to do it. What is training going to do with that? They know what to do and they know how to do it. They're not doing it. It's not a training issue. It's a motivation issue. They know what to do. They know how to do it. They're not doing it. It's a motivation issue. And I suspect, it's a bit like that with these environmental, global warming issues. We know a lot, maybe not everything, but we know what we should be doing, but we're just not doing it. See, I think if you are truly, authentically a follower of Jesus, and you believe, and you really believe that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, if you believe that, if you really believe that, and you believe that you should really love God and love people, if you really, really believe that, then you will be motivated to do something about it. What could you do? Well, you can research it. Goodness knows, there is so much information on the internet about this, what you can do. There really is. I'm not exaggerating. There is thousands of articles. And if you haven't got access to the internet, there are so many programs now on the television, aren't there? I mean, so David Attenborough, this very week, he was there on the telly. You must have seen him warning people. He's made loads of programs. Others have too. Others, many others have made these programs. In fact, I was going to say every week, but it's almost every day now we see it on the telly. What can we do? It's there. If you're interested, it's there. There are books. There are magazines. There are loads of things that you could do. But will you? Will you do these things that you know? And if you don't know, you can find out that you should do. Well, you will, won't you, if you believe that this really is God's world and that you should help and love those, the poorest among us in particular, the least amongst us, you will do that. But if you're not taking this seriously, if you're really not, and only you can answer that, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, I might be one of the worst offenders. But if we're not taking this seriously, then you have to ask yourself some hard questions about your faith, I think. You do. You know, just recently, Sally Ann and I were talking about where we might go on holiday this year. And one of the places that we quite like to go and we can afford to go involves flying. And so we started having this conversation about, well, flying's not really good for the environment, is it? I mean, that's been well proven now. You can't dispute that. Now, I'm not wanting to get into a debate about whether people should fly or not. My point is this. 10 years ago, that wouldn't have even come into it. We wouldn't have even had that debate. Or maybe even 5 years ago. We wouldn't have even thought about that. Now, it's in our conversation. It's in our thinking. It's becoming automatic. And we all of us, that needs to happen for us on these issues. It needs to become just part of our DNA, if you like. It's what we think. How is this going to impact on our wonderful world? Do you know that clip at the beginning? That is fantastic. But as stewards, we're messing it up. So every time we buy something or we think about it, what are we going to do? How does this impact on our wonderful world and on the least amongst us? And by the way, it will soon be impacting on every one of us as well. How is that going to happen? What are we going to do? It needs to become just part of us, automatic, like putting a seatbelt on when you get in a car. You don't think about it. You just get into these issues straight away. Can you imagine what would happen if everybody on the planet who calls themselves a follower of Jesus were tomorrow to say, I am going to take this seriously. I am going to start right now detoxing the way I live. And by the way, there are over 2 billion people who claim to be followers of Jesus. Can you imagine what might happen? I mean, it would be absolutely staggering. Fear would turn to hope. From disaster to discovery we would go, I think. And also from inertia to inspiration. Well, the fact is, you can't decide for anyone else, let alone 2 billion other people. But you can decide for yourself. You can say, do you know what? It is God's world. It is. And all the people who live in it. And I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do what I can. It may not be much, but I'm going to do take those small steps, and I'm going to start, and I'm going to do that starting from tomorrow. And finally, and maybe most importantly of all, let's always remember that God so loved this world, I mean really loved this world, that he sent his Son. And that Son was, of course, Jesus Christ, and he died for it. He died for you and me. And he did that because he knew that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And he wanted to save it. How about you?